This is a HeadGum Original.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Rogers, Steven.
Just give me a chance.
Sorry, son.
I'm saving your life.
General Patton has said that wars are fought with weapons, but they are won by men. Our goal is to create the greatest army in history.
I should be going with you. Look, I know you don't think I can do this.
This isn't a back alley, Steve. It's war.
But every army begins with one man.
Five tries in five different cities. I can offer you a chance.
He will be the first in a new breed of super soldiers.
Why me? Because the weak men knows the value of strength, knows the value of power.
That wasn't so bad.
That was penicillin.
We are going to win this war because we have the best men.
Now, Mr. Stark.
Nay, who personally escort Adolf Hitler to the gates of hell.
How do you feel?
It's all there.
Your task won't be simple.
Who the hell are you? The first of many.
Your enemy is not what you expect.
You know if I can do this.
This is why you were chosen.
What do you think?
I think it works.
Another episode of Newcomers. I'm Nicole Byer, and Lauren Lapkus is here, baby.
I'm Lauren Lapkus. Oh my goodness, we're really doing this.
We are doing it. Oh. God, and honestly, Lauren,
what? You hate this one?
It's exhausting.
I liked this one.
You did?
Oh my God.
Ew, scrawny, weird Chris Evans.
Not that like, part.
He is a soldier.
I gotta talk about that. The way his face was floating on that head. I need to dissect this. But I did, you know, once he got to be himself, I was quite intrigued by the film.
Okay. I liked the last 2 minutes.
I liked the last 2 minutes.
I know that baseball game because I was at that baseball game. Where am I?
That was really exciting.
I was like, why didn't you start the movie here?
That's so true. Well, I guess right? The next one will pick up. Well, I don't know what I don't know what I'm talking about.
Who knows?
About.
Well, yeah, the teaser is. At the end, I watched it. For whatever reason, Disney Plus keeps it tiny, and I don't know how to make it big, so I had to walk up to my TV to watch it.
Isn't it funny that it says at the end, like, Captain America will or whatever, like, will appear in the next, like, they're, it's like they're like letting you know, like, don't worry, you'll see
don't
him
worry.
Again.
He's coming back. I wasn't worried.
Because, but we should introduce what this episode is.
Oh,
we haven't
yes.
said that. We watched Captain America, the First Avenger. Okay. It came out in 2011. This is the fourth episode of our fifth season. We're making our way through the Marvel Universe.
Yep, with the help of newcomer super fans and sometimes people who have contributed. There's 20 episodes, so we're going to miss, I think, 7 movies.
Yes.
Because there's 27 movies in this fucking franchise. Oh my
so
God.
Many. So many. So if you want to watch Captain America, it's on Disney Plus. You can also watch it for a fee on Amazon, Apple TV, Google Play, and Vudu. And obviously, we're going to spoil this movie for you if you haven't seen it. So, you know, take that for whatever that means to you. If you want to watch it, watch it. If you don't care, then don't watch it.
Then don't watch it. Just have a fun time listening. Our guest today, James III, is a writer, actor, producer, best known for co-creating and co-starring the Netflix sketch series Astronomy Club, which is very funny. Hey. He also co-hosts the podcast Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood. Ooh, James!
Welcome, James!
Woo, yes.
What
Thank
is
you
your experience
me.
With Marvel, and how familiar are you with the MCU?
Yes, okay. So I'm very familiar with the MCU. I love everything I've seen. I love everything I've seen. Okay.
Okay, good.
Everything you've seen?
Okay, but he's only
right.
seen
well,
one.
I've only seen this. This is all I've seen. I haven't seen anything else. I read some Marvel comics, but I'm not like super steeped in, so I'm not as familiar with the comics as I am with like, well, in this movie they said XYZ. I can do that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So in the comics is Captain America. So, okay. I've heard that like
I cannot comment on Captain America comics at all.
So you're not well versed in
no
those.
No understanding of Captain America.
She did one of our episodes and she said that no one cared about Iron Man in the comics before
yeah, like
the movie
that wasn't
came
like
out.
A popular comic or
yeah.
whatever.
Is Captain America a popular comic?
So that was the one thing that I knew was that people didn't care about Iron Man until Robert Downey Jr. played him the way that he played him. But mm-hmm. I don't know how revered Captain America is. The one thing I know about Captain America is that there's a comic that came out a few years ago where he is Hydra, and that was, everyone was like, no, we don't like this. How dare you do this to us?
What does that mean?
So Captain America was the red man.
Well, he wasn't the red man, but yes, but like...
No, Hydra's the red man.
But he was him? Like, what do you mean? Because he fights
him. So like
him.
Hydra's the organization, you know, and the
Red
Man was the Red Man.
Oh, yeah. I thought the Red Man was Hydra.
What's his name?
His name is Red Skull.
Well, his name is Red Skull? Come
because
on.
Of his red, I'm sure there's like more to it. Like,
oh, he's also Johann
you're
Schmidt.
To say.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. I mean, if I was a villain and my face was all red and gross, I wouldn't call myself Red Skull. Maybe I call myself like Scarlet Evil or like something fun.
Bloodface.
Bloodface is good.
I don't know. This movie, I actually really enjoyed this movie. And I was prepared to not like it for various reasons, but mm-hmm. and my husband wasn't a fan of this one, so I thought maybe it'd be bad, but I really liked it. I liked how it was kind of real reality a little bit. I mean, I guess maybe they're all going to be like that. Is that what we're in store for, James? Like that they're going to have like a taste of like the real world mixed with something.
I'm
going to
say this is going to go away soon. This general vibe is going to go away soon. And I when I first saw this, I didn't like it as much.
Uh-huh.
But watching it now after seeing everything, it was so refreshing to go back to like, we're just dealing with Captain America. Just, oh man, he got to go on a publicity tour. Like that was like a nice change from like, it's not in the sort of, there's like a formula that you'll see that is they start to fall into. And like,
I
this
did
is not
like
in that.
How it looked aesthetically. And I mm-hmm. thought it was like, well shot. It seemed very like, not like indie, but like it was grounded. But then they killed Stanley Tucci's, and I was very upset about that.
Oh, no, I was glad.
You were
you didn't
glad?
Like that silly accent?
I wasn't glad, but I said, oh, God, we don't have to talk to him anymore.
I love Stanley
Tucci.
I was
like,
I'm so
I love
sad
Stanley
that you
Tucci,
feel that
but I didn't like the German accent.
It was terrible, okay. And I loved it. Yeah. Also, his friend Bucky and Howard Stark, to me, were interchangeable. I know one had a mustache and one did
they
not,
looked
but I was like
so much like. No, that is true. They looked so much alike. No, wait, where did Bucky go?
I was fully confused. I was like, what is going on? I was like, who's who? And then Gabe Jones, played by Derek Luke. Ooh, boy. That juicy lips.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This is maybe the best Marvel movie there ever is because it's the only one with Derek Luke, you could say.
I mean, I also think it's got some nice kisses. We like to have, they have the kisses.
There was a kiss, and I did squeal when there was a kiss. But I also laughed so hard when I saw that the, like, bombs were labeled.
Well, I know. It was like, New York. I was like, Well, that makes it easy when you're just trying to do it quickly. Send it off.
It was so funny to me that they were like, let's label these fucking bombs. This one's going to Chicago. This one's going to New York.
That's how you know the operation is together. You know, they know what's going on. They know, you know, who getting hit when. See, that's you in trouble when that happens.
They had like a home organizational team come in and just make it super clear. Like, these were totally disorganized bombs and now they are labeled in canisters. Oh, my God. Okay, well, here we have our segment called The Daily Bugle, where we give news for the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
The Daily Bugle.
The Daily Bugle. Anthony Ramos, the star of In the Heights, was cast in the upcoming Disney Plus Marvel series Ironheart. According to Deadline's source, he will be playing an undisclosed major Marvel character expected to show up in future films in addition to the TV show.
I am so excited. I love Anthony Ramos. Yeah. I did a show with him in New York years and years and years ago. And I was like, he's a fucking star.
Yeah.
And now he is. I knew it in my heart. So I'm responsible for his success.
You are. What was the show you did?
I did this show at, it was in Brooklyn and it was with Ira Glass.
Yeah.
This American Life. And Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote a 15-minute musical called... something. I don't know. It's on.
And you were in it?
No. I was in a different one. Yeah, it's called 21 Chump Street. It's really great. And I'm not in it. I'm in a different story that Sashir told about how we got into a car accident.
Wow. Cool.
More Daily Bugle.
What a cool night.
It was very fun. I loved it.
Have you seen Anthony Ramos's audition for Rum Tum Tugger, though? Have you seen that? Because that will change your life. It will change your life.
Is it good?
He tweeted it sometime during the shutdown. He was like, listen, I almost got this part. And it's incredible.
I have to see that.
Rum?
Yes.
Okay. That's I'm going to set it up so I can look at it later. Okay. More Daily Bugle. A new trailer for Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness debuted during the Super Bowl and featured a mystery voice that sounds a lot like Patrick Stewart as Professor X. Oh, so wait, what? So instead of like recasting Professor X I'm so confused about like I know Fox has X-Men. So is Marvel going to do more X-Men or do an X-Men movie?
I really hope so. That's
I hope
all
so
I
too, because the reboots were like not great and the last one was pretty shitty. I'm a huge X-Men fan.
No, just that you love X-Men, but like you've been actively avoiding this whole franchise, which is like to me similar as someone who doesn't watch either.
Well, no, because none of this has Storm, and I'm here for Storm. And Halle Berry's a terrible Storm. In the first movie, she has an accent, and then in the second one, they were like, "Hey, girl, you don't have to do it," and she doesn't do it.
Wow!
Let me tell you,
I love that.
That will happen as you continue to watch these movies too. You will see people who have an accent that then don't have one. It's gonna be nice. It's gonna be fun.
Like that. I like that they just go, you know what? Stop. We love you. Stop. You don't need to do that.
We don't need this. And then they cast, I think it's Alexa Shipp for the newer ones. And I like her. She's a great actress, but she like didn't bring me the like strength of Storm. When I was little, I just fucking loved Storm.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. She could control the weather. And like sometimes I would get hot and be like, ooh, wouldn't a nice wind be good?
Is that her catchphrase?
All I want to be is like, I want them to do a Storm origin movie. I want to be Storm's fat friend who's like, Storm, It's hot. You make it windy. Also, I'm thirsty. Can we have some rain?
Wait, oh so you God. Would be upset if they could, if Halle Berry came back as Storm? Is that what it's
like? Because
it's like, oh, they didn't. Okay, yes, I understand.
Okay, okay. So
yeah,
do we?
I want like a strong lady to play Storm.
Oh,
what?
Whoa. Michaela Cole has been cast in the Black
yes.
Panther
I'm
theory,
here for
and
it.
One of the theories yeah, is that she's Storm. That would be so
holy shit! I'm here
oh, Black
for
Panther
it.
Sequel,
that's
I'm
incredible.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I just read exactly what you wrote, even though it didn't make sense. She was cast.
That would
in, okay,
be.
I'm
amazing.
Gonna. I mean, Michaela Cole was cast in the Black Panther sequel. Okay, that's what I was trying to say. That's so amazing. She's like so. That would be awesome. That would be a really interesting.
Yeah.
Casting choice too.
Yeah, I'm here for that. She's so pretty.
She is.
She's so talented.
God, I love
to meet her.
I May Destroy You. That was so good.
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh
I'm
my
trying
God,
to get into
what?
The mindset
Ooh.
To watch Ooh. It.
Yeah, I mean it's intense.
Like, I got a little bit of spoilers, so
it's intense.
Okay,
but
yeah,
it's really
like
good.
I want to be in a good place to watch it.
And you can't just throw that on any old night.
Yeah, and don't binge it. I guess if that's how you're feeling, then watch
yeah.
it over time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we watch the trailer to Doctor Strange is the man in Spider-Man whose house was filled with snow?
Yes.
Okay.
Lauren, I watched Spider-Man and I had so many questions and it was really upsetting because I went with a friend who was like, you talk during everything. You cannot talk during this. And I was like,
what?
Mm-hmm.
That's not okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... They know that
so
about you, then why?
Why invite you?
Okay.
Yeah.
I know. I was like, don't stifle me. And then guess what? They talked during the whole movie.
See?
And I felt vindicated.
Did you just remain silent?
I was just silent and nodding.
They were like, you can't talk, but I can.
I can talk all I want.
Okay. Do we want to watch this trailer?
Let's watch this trailer, baby.
Every night. I dream the same dream. And then... the nightmare begins.
What was that bedroom? Very opulent.
I did what I had to do.
Oh my God.
To protect our world.
You can't control everything, Strange. Open the doorway between universes, and we don't know who or what will walk through it.
Wanda, what do you know about the multiverse?
Viz had his theories. He believed it was dangerous.
He was right. I'm sorry, Steven. Your desecration of reality will not go unpunished.
We should tell him the truth.
Well, obviously,
yeah,
that's
it's
not a mystery voice. Let's get real. Oh, their heads are cut up. That was funny.
Break the rules.
Look out!
I become a hero. I do it. I become the enemy.
Hmm.
It doesn't seem fair.
I like Elizabeth Olsen.
I like her too, and I like that she's living out the dreams of her sisters, Mary Kay and Ashley, by talking to herself like she's a twin.
I feel like she built a really nice career for herself. I feel like she waited to become an actor until she was no longer a child, which I think was great too.
Yeah, I think when you have the example right in your home, you go, eh, maybe I don't do that. But she did act as a child. She was in The Adventures of Mary Kate and Ashley.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
She played, guess what, the twin sister.
What?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I think their brother might have been in it too.
Oh, wow. Well, you got to get everyone in there when you can.
Oh, shit. I used to have those VHSs. I wonder if I threw them away. Oopsies. Anyway, there's more Daily Bugle.
Oh, yes. Speaking of X-Men. We say it in sync. Yeah, I'll take it. Channing Tatum said recently in an interview that he was so traumatized by not getting to play Gambit that he can't watch Marvel movies. He was set to star as the character in a solo film that unfortunately got scrapped when Disney bought Fox.
Fun fact, I auditioned for that movie.
Wow.
Whoa.
I think I signed an NDA, but like since it's not happening, I think I can talk about it. Right. I don't remember the sides, but I did tape it in a shower in Costa Rica.
In a shower? Was that the only white background you had?
Yes. There was like iguanas like stapled to the wall everywhere because it was like this place called Casa Iguana or whatever.
That's so funny.
So yeah, me and Sashir taped our like, were the self-tapes sides? I remember them being good. I remember them being about, guess what, cards, because that's what Gambit is all about.
Okay.
So Disney bought Fox and then they just completely scrapped the entire project. Why?
Probably because they have their own, what is it? It's like phases or whatever. So they're probably going to like reintroduce X-Men in some sort of phasing.
Yeah. I also read that he was, him and his directing partner, they were trying to direct it and they hadn't directed a feature before. And they, like kept being like, we're going to do it. We're going to do it, you know. But they have Dog coming out now. So
who's Dog?
That's the name of the movie. Dog. it's Channing Tatum's. Dog.
Oh, I thought this was like a fucking Marvel movie. It's just a movie about a dog?
Yeah.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
It's just a movie about a dog. Yeah.
Wait, we should watch that trailer.
I feel like it's very much something a man would do to be like, I want to direct the next X-Men movie. I've never directed, but can I do it? Yeah. It's like, that's so bold. And they would probably let people do that. I mean, that happens all the time.
When I read that, I was surprised. They didn't just go, yeah, y'all can, you know, you're that guy from 21 Jump Street. You can
figure
you know
it
what
out.
I mean? Like, I'm so.
Yeah.
I would let him do it. I thought he'd be a good Gambit. I wonder, like, I feel like Fantastic Four was directed by somebody who only had directed one other thing.
There's a lot of that, but it's just always surprising to me. Like, I just feel like it would be hard for me, at least, to say, I'll do it if I never do that.
Lauren, I think you should just believe in yourself.
Fine.
Say you'll direct the next Doctor Strange movie.
Okay, I'll do it. I'd love the chance.
I would love that opportunity. Thank you.
I would see it. I think people would probably enjoy it.
Yeah, I think the whole world would see it. They'd be like, Lauren Lapkus directing a Doctor Strange movie? I got it.
That's random. Let's go laugh at that. Oh my God. Okay, well, let's take a break and then we'll jump into Captain America.
Full force. If you're wondering what a NordVPN is, I'll tell you. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, a service that protects your internet connection and online privacy. A VPN creates an encrypted tunnel for your data. Protect your online identity by hiding your IP address and allow you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. I'm using a NordVPN myself. And honestly, it's very easy to use. You connect with one click to enable auto connect for zero click protection. It has amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there, and it supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, Linux, even Android TV. You can switch your virtual location to access apps and websites in other countries. Get an exclusive NordVPN deal here at nordvpn.com/newcomers. NordVPN.com/newcomers. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Link is in the episode description.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
And we're back. Okay, so Captain America was written by Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely, directed by Joe Johnson, released July 22nd, 2011. This movie feels very current for 2011.
It really does.
11 years ago?
The technology was really good considering that. The face thing was one of the most shocking things I've ever seen, and we will get to that when we... let's jump into the summary here, and we'll talk about what we thought. So... the film opens in the Arctic Circle in the present day, where researchers uncover the buried wreckage of a large wing-shaped aircraft. I forgot that it starts there.
You know what? When this started, I said, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And as you read it now, I'm like, that's Captain America who is in there.
To the end. So inside, they discover a frozen circular object with a red, white, and blue motif.
I cannot believe I'm only connecting that now.
Yeah.
We cut to March 1942, where Hydra forces, it's a top secret science division of the Nazi Party, invades a stone church in Norway, seeking a mysterious cosmic artifact known as the Tesseract, which possesses untold powers. Their leader, Johann Schmidt, Hugo Weaving, also from The Matrix, he's Mr. what's his name?
I haven't seen The
Agent
Matrix.
Smith.
Mr. Smith, you've never seen The Matrix?
Agent Smith, yep.
Oh, Agent Ooh. Smith. I'm sorry. Thank you, James.
He's Warren, an agent, yes.
you gotta watch the first one.
I will watch it.
Okay. Has the church keeper who guarded the Tesseract killed, along with everybody in the village.
Yeah. So in 1943, what I liked about this, though, is that it kind of feels like it just feels like a war movie at first. Like, so that was kind of interesting to me. In 1943, Steve Rogers, played by Chris Evans, but he's very small thanks to CGI. Ugh. So he's once again rejected for military duty on the battlefields of World War II because he keeps trying to go to war, but he's really small. But what they did was they took an actor with a smaller frame, I assume, right? And they put his face on it.
Put Chris Evans' face on
like,
it.
I think the body was real because he's in all this. That part didn't ever strike me as odd, right?
There's one part where he's sitting in the car and that head is floating. I was like, they didn't connect it good at all.
Sometimes it was so weird.
I was
why you're offended?
I was offended. Look at me. I'm a wiry dude. Okay, you know what I'm saying? You could just cast a wiry dude to play the part. Okay. Then CGI the muscles. CGI the muscles later. Don't make a big dude small.
Oh, I went a different way with it. I thought they should have just cast a different actor for that part, and then when he turns into Captain America, he's Chris Evans. Like, I didn't think it needed to. Like, I could suspend my disbelief if they look slightly different, you know?
Yeah, but then we wouldn't see the range of him being like, hey, I'm just a frail bully. I was beat up in that alley. I was beat up behind that hospital.
Picturing his
little... I was
little...
beat up everywhere. Now I know what to do. I will fight everybody.
The way his face, like, sometimes it was, like, really zoomed in on the body.
Yes.
So it'd be, like, so much face and so little, like, space on the head. And then I feel like he was, like, picturing him doing that acting of, like, being, like, I'm just a little guy. Like, when he was, like, in a little, like, blue screen booth or something with just his face. And he has, like some, like, spandex around his body or something. And he's going, like, I'm okay. I'm
that
scared.
Makes it even funnier. Just him pretending to be little.
I just couldn't believe that when I saw that. I was so shocked. And I was kind of more excited to watch it because I was like, what is going on? Who made this choice?
I also just didn't understand why he wanted to be in the war.
Me neither.
So bad.
Why was he so desperate to go? So it says after multiple attempts due to his frail physical appearance and numerous health issues, he keeps getting rejected. He later picks a fight at a movie theater, gets beat up in an alley. Well, so in the movie theater, the guy's like screaming over like a war video that is playing before the movie. And then he's like defending the war. He's like, they're honorable. Let them be or whatever. And then this guy kicks his ass. And then Bucky Barnes, his best friend, played by Sebastian Stan, who rescues him.
While attending Stark Expo, seems like there's always a fucking Stark Expo happening.
Right?
With Bucky. In two dates, Steve tries to enlist again. Imagine, like, going on a date and being like, I gotta get to war. Fuck this lady.
I know. And he keeps lying about where he lives. so he can enlist again. And there's a big sign that's like, it's illegal to lie about your whatever facts.
That was interesting because I was like, that never comes back.
No one
didn't fucking matter.
They wanted to just use
it
him as an
experiment.
It only
mattered for that moment.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was afraid for a little bit, but then they saw that he could just be the person that they do this to. They put him in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So after overhearing Steve's conversation with Bucky about wanting to help in the war, Abraham Erskine, Stanley Tucci's, allows Steve to enlist as a candidate of Project Rebirth, a super soldier experiment being conducted by the Strategic Scientific Reserve, or SSR. Under the supervision of Erskine, Chester Phillips, Tommy Lee Jones, who, boy, oh boy, he's got real big ears that I've never clocked, and boy, is he old. I was concerned. I hope he gets to sit down in between takes. And Peggy Carter, Haley Atwell.
Yeah, Tommy Lee Jones, I feel like he's kind of looked the same for a long time, though. Like, he's kind of stalled out at a certain age. He's got such a... He's just who he is. You know what I mean? Like, when he's in this role, I was like, he's just being Tommy Lee Jones, which I didn't hate.
Watching this made me realize I hadn't seen him in a while, and I was like, oh, is he gonna... Does he look just like this still? Like, you know, would he be...
Because like, I guess what I'm thinking is that he does look like that now, but maybe I don't know.
I think he does. I'm looking at his Wikipedia. He looks the same. He's 75 years old, so he is up there.
So he was 65 when they shot this, which seems younger than I would have put.
You know, I'm there with you.
He's probably lived a hard life in a good way. You know, like he's gone hard. Like he's kind of like weathered in a way that makes you think he just smokes cigarettes and does whatever he fucking wants.
Yeah. Yeah. Live your life to the fullest. That's the Tommy Lee Jones method. You got to just do it.
Totally. Okay. So Phillips doesn't think that Steve is the right person for the procedure, but changes his mind after seeing the way Steve threw himself on a dummy grenade during basic training. I did not understand why he did this.
Because he thought his little body would shield everyone from an explosion.
Oh. Wait, well, he's delusional. Don't know why
Yeah. Yeah. Fully delusional. Well, That's why he keeps trying to enlist.
You try to protect. You do whatever you can to protect. That's why he tossed it, because he thought the other dude was going to do it too. You know, he thought the other dude was going to jump down on it, you know, because that's what you do.
But
you try to dampen the
explosion. Wouldn't everyone just run away from it? Like, why does someone have
because
to kill themselves?
Because they're not heroes. That's why everyone runs away. Steve is a fucking hero because he put his frail body on an explosive.
It was very cute how he kind of just leapt onto it, and then everyone was like, oh, it was fake. Oh,
I'd be like, he's not the right person for the job, because if that was a real grenade, all his like little bones would have gone flying in the air and probably hit somebody in the eye. I would have been mad.
Oh my God.
I liked how this opening sequence was very like Men in Black. It was like Tommy Lee Jones doing the same thing from Men in Black, but to but now it's to Steve Rogers. Yeah, it was like just beat by beat the same thing.
So the night before the treatment, Erskine reveals to Steve that Schmidt underwent an imperfect version of the procedure and suffered negative side effects due to his inner ambition for power and obsession with becoming a superior man. However, he reassures Steve that he chose him because he believed Steve was an inherently good man, and that because he had been weak his whole life, he would not lose respect for the strength he would gain. Aww.
Yeah, I was like, okay. I mean, just because he's like this scrawny little man doesn't mean he's inherently good. Do you know what I mean?
No, he seems to like, he adapts to being hot and strong like so easily. Like he never like
so
looks in the mirror and goes, like,
whoa.
Like he's just like, I'm strong now. Let's go. Like it's just so easy for him.
He run a little weird. You know what I mean? He can't quite control how he run. He's slipping
he
all over the place.
He flies into the like window and breaks it. And he's like, oh. And then he's like back to running.
My strong
and then I was
legs.
Like, put some shoes on him.
I know. When he runs out barefoot. Wow, that was intense.
I was like, that's disgusting. So back in Europe, Schmidt and Arnon Zola, Toby Jones, uses one of his machines, successfully harnessing the energies of Tesseract, intending to use the power to fuel Zola's inventions. He also dispatches an assassin to kill Erskine.
In New York City, Steve undergoes the super soldier treatment. He's put in a special chamber. So this was like the Stefan Urkel moment for him.
It truly was.
I was like, I can follow this. So he's put in a special chamber where Erskine administers the super soldier serum and doses him with Vita Rays. Steve emerges from the chamber.
All of that was stupid. Super soldier treatment, super soldier serum, Vita Rays.
I know.
This is all first draft shit.
So silly. We'll just give him the super soldier serum. Okay, fine. Just put that in there for now. Steve emerges from the chamber taller and with an enhanced physique. What a polite way to put it. After witnessing the success of the experiment, one of the attendees reveals himself to be Schmidt's assassin, Heinz Kruger, Richard Armitage, who shoots Erskine, killing him. So yeah, he gets into this like... He's in like, what's it called? Like where they do like a surgery and like a, in like the sort of viewing place, like the theater. And so he's in that and they put him inside this little like rocket and they shoot him up with all this blue goo. And thankfully they closed the machine to, because I didn't want him to get like have like the sort of Nutty Professor moment where he's like.
I did. I wanted to see those muscles bulge. I wanted to see his eyes get big and wide and his arms like.
His head expands
seizure.
To make sense of his face.
Yeah. Oh, that's my God. What I wanted.
That would have been really funny.
So Kruger grabs the last vial of the super soldier serum and escapes the facility into the streets of New York. Steve is now super strong and super fast, and he manages to catch Kruger, but the vial's broken in the process, and the assassin immediately commits suicide with a cyanide pill before he can be interrogated for information. As he dies, he says, "Hail Hydra."
Can we talk about how he committed suicide with his tooth that was cyanide? That was the weirdest. He literally, like, pops his tooth out, chops it, which made me sick.
And then crunched. It was gross.
And then it was cyanide. It started foaming in his mouth and he died. So, like, what was that? James, you know about this?
I mean, I've seen stuff like this in other spy movies.
I need somebody to explain.
Like, I've seen it happen. But the thing I don't understand is, like, how do you, if you always have cyanide in your tooth, like, how do you go about your everyday with the cyanide pill, like
how do you eat corn on the cob with your cyanide tooth without killing yourself?
You have to be very careful and eat on one side of your mouth. Or
also,
maybe you take it out when you chew.
Are people popping out their tooth? Like, do you have to have not a tooth in order to?
Right, it's not just
for the loss of tongue dexterity.
Yeah, he was really slick with it. Like he'd done it a lot, but that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, that was weird. That made me kind of sick. But it was also kind of there was a point to this that evil guy was attacking or was like threatening to kill a child in that moment. Mm-hmm. He was like holding this kid at gunpoint and then he throws the kid into the water, whatever water it is. And then the kid's like, "Don't worry, I can swim.
Go get him. I can swim." It's like, all right, kid.
Very like Jimmy Olsen, like, go get him, Cap. Like,
I loved it. I thought it was so funny.
It's so funny to me how nobody was really like, "Wow, what's happening?" Like the lady was like, "Put my kid down." And that's about all she said.
I know. Like the stakes are much higher than that.
Right.
That man was willing to do anything, including kill himself 1 minute later. He would not have cared what happened to that child. So Steve is approached by Senator Brandt, offering the chance to tour the nation for the USO to promote war donations. Although Steve is happy to be contributing towards the war effort, he's such a good guy, he grows increasingly weary of being paraded around and not able to fight actively in the war itself. So he's like,
part could have been cut.
It could have been 1 minute.
Some stuff for time.
Yeah.
When I first saw the movie, I didn't like this part at all. I didn't understand the justification of like, you know, you're a super soldier, but you're not good enough. Like I didn't get what made him not good enough. I guess not preventing the explosion to begin with, but how could he just came out the
right. I didn't get, like, once he was made strong, why is he being held back in this way? And he's just kind of being paraded around as like a little mascot. I didn't understand.
Yeah. I didn't get that either. That's why I was like, cut it for a time.
I liked it.
You liked it? So
you like it now?
I liked it.
Why?
Yeah, I don't, it still doesn't make sense. I still don't know why they did it. And they it's got to be explained, and I just didn't see it. But I like the, like, him being beat down by this. And then how he overcomes it afterwards. It hit me much harder this time.
I guess it's kind of cute because it makes him sort of an underdog still. Like, and then so that when he starts to really prove how good he is, it makes it more exciting that he's a superhero or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it would have been kind of quick. It would have just been like, he got the goo, then he's strong, and he's, like, kicking ass. Mm. Like, it was just a little way to, like, build the story, I guess, to make it so we cared more if he ever got to do his thing.
Okay, so meanwhile in Germany, Schmidt has declared his succession from the Third Reich. It's Reich, right? Do I say that mm-hmm. right? Claiming that Hydra right. could grow no further under Adolf Hitler's shadow, using the stored energy and the Tesseract, Hydra creates a variety of weapons and other technology, quickly giving the faction the potential to become a major threat to the war front and the world at large.
So back with the SSR, Steve learns that Bucky's unit was lost in a battle against Hydra. He refuses to believe that Bucky is dead and becomes determined to mount a solo rescue attempt with help from Carter and Howard Stark, who fly him behind enemy lines. Steve manages...
Real easily.
Yeah.
They're dodging the shots from this the Hydra rays that like just evaporate people. But, you know, you dip, you go up, you go side to side, and nobody goes.
I know,
get you.
I felt sad when people were getting evaporated by that. I was like, that's a life lost. Like, I just like, I don't know. Is
that's
it,
a life lost
hitting me.
Sincerely is one of the most violent Marvel movies it felt
oh,
like.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
a man gets chopped up and you see yes. blood sprayed yeah. behind.
The blood
I was
trail?
Like, the children see this?
Yeah.
Couldn't yeah. believe it. They would never do that now, I feel like. But it like, but in the early days, they were just like, yeah, a guy gets, you know, fully chopped up.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
Well, even in like, the beginning when like the, up. He went through a food processor.
yeah,
like,
he was blended. he
yeah.
Was,
yeah. Yeah, it was. He was a smoothie. That was wild.
yeah, well, in the beginning when the bad guy shoots that old man and then the blood spatters onto his little pin and he's like, that was fucked up too.
yeah.
So, okay, so Steve manages to sneak into Hydra's main factory where he finds and frees most of the captive soldiers, including Bucky, who he discovers is being operated on in an isolation ward of the factory.
And I couldn't figure out if he had been operated or was the operation was beginning because he was like a little dazed. He was like, oh my God, you big.
Yeah. it yeah. did not it yeah. hit him enough that his friend now looked completely different in a way that was completely impossible.
But we see later in the bar where he's like, I guess I'm now a piece of shit yeah. and girls don't like me. And I was like, wow. Yeah. Wow, someone was in their feelings writing that scene.
yeah, but I feel like he stays that way. Like in the first few scenes, they're like, they're friends, and he's chummy, and he's this. But for the rest of this movie, he is looking at Steve like, I'm supposed to be the one with the muscles. Like,
I know. Like,
so upset at him. When he says, let's hear it for Captain America, he gives him the side eye to end all side eyes.
Yeah, I clocked let's that hear too. It. I was like, wow.
I know. And it's like, don't be so jealous. Like, just be excited that your friend is doing well.
yeah, your friend yeah. is hot. Now you can actually go on double
dates. Go on
dates.
Double dates, oh, maybe, do everything you want. He's still hot, Bucky.
Maybe he liked it in the beginning where he was like, I'm going to go try to get in the army again. He's like, great, I'm going to have a threesome with these women.
yeah.
okay, so Schmidt sees what's going on, sets the factory to self-destruct to cover Hydra's operations. As the building begins to detonate, Schmidt confronts Steve on a high catwalk and reveals his face is actually a mask.
Oh, that was crazy.
Believe that. So it's a red skull-like visage, a result of the super soldier serum that earned him the nickname the Red Skull. So how come Steve has a face still?
Because he didn't have a bad, like, he didn't have the bad serum.
He wasn't evil serum. Inside, so it, like, reacted yeah. well with his body and was just, like, it'll
that's
just
so funny
result in
that,
muscles.
Like, if you're a good person, super soldier serum will just make you hot. And if you are evil, you will look like your insides
yeah.
have come to the
outside. The thing about him having the Red Skull underneath his mask, I don't think I knew that going into it the first time I saw it, but watching it this time, there's a point like two scenes earlier where he like itches his eye and like his eyelid goes down just a little bit too far. It's like,
oh.
But I don't know if you would have seen it if you didn't know what was coming, but it goes down. He got, it's like really, it's gross. It's really
that's
gross.
That's cool.
So I'm glad that y'all didn't.
That's cool.
Clever nod to what's going to happen. Okay. Steve gains his superior officer's respect and is given high rank and the chance to fight as a key figure on the war front opposing Hydra directly. Steve recruits Bucky Dum Dum Dugan. I miss that character's name.
I miss that man's name. Dum Dum Dugan?
Gabe Jones, Jim Morita, James Montgomery Fallsworth, and Jacques Dernier as his personal team of Howling Commandos to take out the other known Hydra operations. So yeah, this is when they start... just kicking ass and taking names.
Yeah.
And
it was funny that he had like a crew because I was like, he has a crew for 5 minutes of this movie.
I know. Where'd they go?
I don't know.
And also, who are they? Like, he doesn't know these people. Like,
that's true. They're not like his like friends that we care about or something.
No, but they're what's his name? They're Bucky's friends. Is that his friend's name?
Yeah, Bucky.
Yeah. So maybe he's like, if you're good with Bucky, you're good with me. He also gains the respect of Private Lorraine Natalie Dormer, who pulls him in for a kiss as Carter, who's visibly jealous, calls him to test some equipment with Stark. Howard outfits Steve with a durable custom combat uniform and a circular shield made of vibranium, which he explains is the rarest metal of the earth, stronger than steel, a third of the weight. And I was like, did this billionaire steal from the Africans?
Oh, yeah. Wait, is that what it's
called? Because vibranium is from Africa. It's from Black Panther.
Yeah.
It's also what, that's what Wolverine's lined with, right?
Oh.
No? Oh, no, he's with adenamum. Or adenamum.
Adamantium.
Adenamum. What is it? What is it?
Adamant.
What?
I think you can think of it as the hero Adam Ant. Adam Antium.
Uh-huh. Oh, adamantium. Well, what's adamantium? It's different than vibranium?
It's some compound, some thing. I don't know.
Well, I liked how his he used his shield. I didn't know he was going to throw it like that. Like, he would just throw it and like kill people. Like, he just like throws it at a tree and some guy falls out, and then he throws it and like bounces back like a boomerang. I think that was pretty fun. I didn't know that was going to happen.
I was like, this is the strongest frisbee I've ever seen.
So 2 years later, Steve and the Howling Commandos assaults a train carrying Zola. Steven,
that's what they're called, the Howling Commandos.
Yes.
What? Steve? Did Dum Dum name them that?
Let's be the Howling Commandos. All right, Dum Dum Dugan.
All right, Dum Dum Dugan.
Steve and Bucky engage in a fight with the soldiers on the train, during which Bucky falls from the train while Jones locates Zola and captures him. Steve is deeply affected by the loss of his best friend and is convinced by Carter to use his sorrow as motivation to put an end to Hydra for good. Using information extracted from Zola, the final Hydra stronghold is located, and they lead an attack to stop Schmidt from attacking the United States.
So then Steve climbs aboard Valkyrie, Hydra's massive aircraft bomber, as it takes off. During the fight, a machine containing the Tesseract is damaged. Schmidt handles the Tesseract, which opens a wormhole into space, sucking him right into that bright light. The cube falls to the floor, burning through the plane and falling into the ocean.
Okay, wait, with no way to land the plane. When he takes the blue thing, and then he just like, it melts his entire face and body, and he goes into orbit. Like, it was like the most insane.
And I was like, so we think Captain America is a hero. He just like accidentally hit that thing. And then he was like, not my cube. And then the cube took him. The cube is the hero.
So, yeah.
I fully agree. Like, I didn't like that when I first saw it. And I still don't like it now. Like, I don't like that, like, Red Skull is supposed to have whatever the serum inside of him, but all it did was remove his face skin, right?
Yeah.
But this final battle should have been like, I don't know, like they're punching each other like out the plane and then jumping out and grabbing them, pulling them into the plane, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff.
Right.
Because all he does with his red face is literally run away.
Yeah.
He just like keeps leaving the scene being like, ooh, toodaloo, I don't want to be here. I'm going to get in my little spaceship. You drive my car, not a scratch.
Yeah, I thought that was really weird. And yeah, then the cube falls and burns the plane and falls in the ocean. I was like, wait, like that cube was insane. First of all, was the cube always just in Red Skull's hands like the entire time? Like when he's the first one to open it in the beginning, then does Captain America interact with the cube?
No, I don't think anyone touches it.
So it's just
and in
lucky.
This a line that. Yeah, well, in this a line that stood out to me this time than the first time is someone says like, oh, the old man that he kills in the beginning maybe is like, you'll never be able to wield the power. You'll never be able to hold that in your hands. It's like the first thing is said to him. So then it's just supposed to hit like he tries to hold it and then, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
Steve is also just like, oh, he's dead. I can't land this plane. With no way to land the plane without detonating its weapon, Steve crashes it into the Arctic shelf while making a sorrowful goodbye to Carter, making a promise to take her dancing. Stark later recovers the Tesseract from the ocean floor, but is unable to locate Steve's body or Schmidt's aircraft.
Yeah, I wasn't scared here because I figured it was going to end well, but I didn't know how. But the stakes didn't feel that exciting to me right here because I was like, well, there's no way he's going to die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he can't die because I know he becomes a Winter Soldier.
So this is the best part, I think. Steve awakens in a 1940-style hospital room, deducing from the radio broadcast of a baseball game that he attended that something is wrong. So they were playing a radio broadcast of a game, and he's like, wait, this game's from 1941. I was at that game. This can't be possible. And the nurse is like, sir, and she's pushing a button, and all these people come in, and he breaks through the wall like he's on the Truman Show. He jumps, he runs outside, and he's in present-day Times Square, which is crazy. It says American Eagle behind him.
And then also, like, Forever 21, I was like, wow, shout out to that. But I was like, he's taking this so well.
He's adapting to the lights. Nothing is shocking.
I would have been like, it's bright. What's all the noise? What is everyone wearing? What are these vehicles? Yeah.
He's just basically confused about the date more than anything.
Yes. He was like, you're lying about the date. And then Nick Fury.
That was exciting.
What the fuck? How is he just here?
I like that. So Nick Fury walks up and tells him he's been asleep for 70 years. And stunned by this revelation, Steve's only response is that he had a date. I thought that was actually cute. That was like basically a rom-com at this point.
Yeah,
this was a nice ending, but I was mad at the oversight of the date. Like, how do you, they do this whole thing, and they're like, yep, let's do it from a baseball game that I guess he, not only was he at, but like, he watched, you know what I mean? Like, he knew everything that was happening. Like,
it's just really funny to me, the attention to detail, because I don't think he died in 1941.
Well, that's what doesn't make sense because
he died in 1942 and they didn't think to get a baseball game from
insane.
Like, that's what I don't understand. It's like, because like the date could be said during that. Like, you just want to, like, I don't know. I mean, that's what I was so confused about. Like, why did they pick a game that he was at before he even became Captain America? He didn't go to a game.
I think
they
just fucked up. They just picked something. They were like, I don't know, something from the fucking 40s?
Yeah, it was just somebody going like, here's one I found on YouTube. And like, they just put it on.
You're trying to ease someone into 75 years in the future. Just play a different game.
Yeah, just think about that a little bit. Oh my God.
Yeah, just a touch, you know? I also love that nurse was like, you're in New York? And he's like, no, tell me where I really am. She's like, oh no.
She panicked so
fast.
Are
you guys down?
It was her first day having to handle him.
Prep her.
He was not awake ever before. This was her first time she had to come in and do her lines, and she freaked out immediately.
Truly.
She couldn't even go like, oh, you're just feeling fuzzy. No, that's not the date. Like, she didn't come up with anything. She just pushed a button, and they all went crazy. Oh my God.
Should we take a little break?
Let's do it.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, well, this movie was not nominated for any major awards, but the film was pretty well received critically. It has an 80% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes, with a consensus that reads, "With plenty of pulpy action, a pleasantly retro vibe, and a handful of fine performances, Captain America is solidly old-fashioned blockbuster entertainment." I actually agree.
However, Karina Longworth, who hosts the Hollywood History Podcast, you must remember this, reviewed it for the Village Voice writing, a hokey, hacky, 2 hour plus exercise in franchise transition / price gouging, complete with utterly unnecessary post-converted 3D.
Oh, it was in
what?
3D?
Price gouging. I don't know. What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean? Maybe the 3D tickets?
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. But geez, calm down.
But what price gouging is mad. Mean? Yeah, no, I don't know.
Yeah, like what would that be? It's like, how did they...
Are they saying it's cheap? That's isn't that what... Because when you...
Yeah, right? maybe it's like the 3D ticket prices are more expensive and she's like, and I didn't want to pay it.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, audiences polled by CinemaScore gave the film an average grade of A-. Well, that's good.
And here's our new segment. Is Chris in this? So we have to have a conversation as to whether Chris was in this. And I'm going to say... There was a Chris.
And can I just say that I have never understood the excitement about Chris Evans. I mean, I've always been like, yeah, he's a good looking person, whatever. I don't really care. I now understand it. I understand why everyone is, he's a superstar, very obsessed with who he's dating, all that kind of stuff. I understand the fandom.
Who is he dating?
Well, I don't know now. But I also watched a video the other day of him and his brother like scaring each other. And it was very cute and charming. They like surprise each other all the time and like scream each other's name hiding behind something. And it was funny. I liked him. I thought he was really likable and I want more. And it's half of why I liked the movie was him. So I think I'm on board for Chris Evans now.
He is very charismatic. I did enjoy the performance. I really couldn't get behind him scrawny.
No, that was weird.
That was a little much for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he quickly becomes one of my favorite characters in
the franchise. Oh, wait, Captain America's your favorite character?
Well, he quickly becomes one of my favorite characters after this. My favorite character is Hulk. I love Hulk. I feel like Hulk not getting the love. He not getting the love he needs. I'm excited for the She-Hulk show. I think that's going to be fun. But they not, you know what I'm saying? Hulk need to be out here smashing and stuff. They not.
Did you like the Ed Helms Incredible Hulk? Ed Norton. No.
Hold on.
Ed Norton.
Ed Helms as Hulk would be so funny.
We got to do that. Someone has to do that.
And then Edward Norton, did you like that one?
I did like that one, but I am a Ang Lee Hulk stan. I am sort of upset of how that movie has been sort of ostracized.
Yeah, we're not even covering it because we were told it's trash.
It's not. It's also not in the MCU. It's not. It's quote unquote not.
It's not canon.
It's not canon.
So that's why we're
not. Norton's Hulk starts with a flashback of events. That's basically the whole Ang Lee Hulk movie. They're like, this didn't happen, but it happened. You know what I mean?
Oh,
okay. Well, I'm intrigued. Leah's furiously typing. She wants us to know. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Leah is protecting herself and saying Incredible Hulk was trash. She did not say Ang Lee Hulk was trash. That is the key difference there. So
Jennifer Connelly is fantastic in Ang Lee's Hulk. And Eric Bana is also fantastic. And not that I don't like Edward Norton or Liv Tyler. They're both great. But I just miss my friends.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Wait. So Ang Lee's Hulk was the first Hulk movie?
Yeah, it's the first Hulk movie that they made, during this, I think it came out like a few years after Spider-Man.
It was around. And it's not Marvel?
It is Marvel, but it's not Marvel Cinematic Universe.
So is it Sony?
We're lost.
No.
What are these phases?
Universal.
What are the phases? Do you understand the phase thing?
What are phases?
Yes, I do understand the phases.
Can you tell us?
So the phases are just are periods of movie that like when they that's the rollout that they had essentially.
But see,
so like phase one. Oh,
no, Mike, I'm so confused by this because like on Disney Plus, the films are categorized in phase one, phase two. I'm like, how am I supposed to know when it was rolled out when I'm searching for?
You're not going to know. But if you go in order, then that'll help track it for you. I think Disney Plus has also put the movies in the timeline order, which is different than the phase order.
Oh.
What? The timeline order is different than the phase order? the fuck? Someone, why would they do that?
People might say you can watch this Captain America, you know, you can watch this early since it takes place in 1930, whenever, 1940, whenever it is that the movie takes place. You can watch that first, I think. And then, you know, and then like Cap, well, I'm not gonna, y'all are watching it, but you'll see that some movies come out and you're like, oh, this actually happened before this movie that's in phase three, you know, or whatever.
Oh. Okay, so it's very Star Wars-esque.
It's very Star Wars-esque, yes.
Okay. Exactly.
So they're asking me to not be interested because that's a lot of work on my behalf to like figure shit out.
Okay, we have another new segment. Is Kiss in this? Now, this is a new segment where we have a yes or no conversation about if a kiss is in the film and what we thought of any kissing scenes or romantic storylines. Now, was there a kiss in this film?
Ooh, there was two kisses. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
First kiss, did not really love. She was a little aggressive in a way where I was like, yikes, I see myself and I will make a change, take a chance, and not be that aggressive.
That's so funny.
I gotta say, I liked both kisses in this. I don't think I liked the first kiss the first time because I was like, Captain America don't need this. But I liked that there was just randomly, just randomly a woman out of nowhere like, if the other women aren't here, in front of, they're in the office. They don't even go into.
They are in the office.
They don't go away. They're just visible. Yeah. Anyone can see.
She pulled him behind a bookshelf with huge gaps. And I was like, that's not privacy.
And when then his crush saw and she was hurt, I didn't like that. Yeah. But then when they kissed, I liked that. That's my thoughts.
I thought it was beautiful.
I did like the little peck. And I really loved when Tommy Lee Jones was like, I ain't kissing you.
I liked that too. That was funny. That was a good line.
I laughed very hard.
But then think about this. Like,
really hit me.
So basically from her perspective, he died after he said he was going to take her dancing. And then she had to live like that for the rest of her life.
She had to live like that.
Yeah.
Like she had like Captain America was her boyfriend basically. And then it was over. That's so fucked up.
Yeah. And then, I think for me, after watching, now that I've seen like all of the other the movies, when I first watched this, the consequences of that didn't resonate with me in the same way. But like watching it now, knowing that he, you know, goes on to be alive 70 years in the future, like super touching. Their kiss is really, it's so.
What if she was still alive and she was like 98?
He wouldn't what fuck do you her. Do? He would be like, ew.
But you go talk to her and just say, like, wait, oh, I was in like a coma.
Leah says maybe she is.
Oh my.
I'm not gonna say
anything. We're gonna see that old bitch.
I really hope.
I'm not gonna say any.
Oh my
words.
God. I hope there's a sex scene with a very, like, I hope she's played by the woman from Titanic.
Yes.
And I hope
she has the attitude of Blanche from Golden Girls and she's like, let's do it. Oh my God. I love this.
Should we get into some trivia?
Yes, please.
So according to IMDb.com, Hayley Atwell, Peggy Carter, admitted in interviews that she was very taken by Chris Evans's physique and nearly broke character in the scene where he first steps out in his new form and ruined the take by bopping him on the chest, which made it into the film as a result. I clocked that. I was like, how wild. She was just like touching him.
Yeah.
And I love that. That was not acting. She was like, well, dang.
Like they saved the reveal for the moment they were doing the scene together and she's like, you do look good. Like but I also feel like it makes sense for her to touch him because it's like a crazy change, but mm-hmm. that is funny. I wonder what he was thinking during that moment. Stanley Tucci took the role of Dr. Erskine because the role enabled him to use a German accent, which he always wanted to do. Oh, I'm sorry I insulted it.
Yeah. Do you feel bad now, Lauren?
I do.
Stanley Tucci's was living a dream, and here you are shitting on that dream.
No, I'm sorry. He did a great job, and I'm really glad he got to do what he wanted.
Is it a bad accent? I can never
I don't think
tell
it was even bad. It was
bad.
More that I was thinking, I wish it was like someone where I wasn't thinking, oh, they're doing an accent, because I know he's not German. Mm. Like, it would have been cool if it was an actor either I didn't know or that one that had a German accent naturally, and then that was just the thing. But that's just my opinion.
While watching that, I feel like I've never heard Stanley Tucci, except for his current show on Netflix, but like I never hear him speak in his regular accent.
Oh my God, is his
stuff.
Like cooking show? Is that the, or like his travel show where he eats or something?
Yeah.
I want to watch that.
Yeah, his
wait, what is his regular accent?
American?
you know, I guess. I guess it's American. I don't actually know.
I mean, he does an American accent in The Devil Wears Prada.
But he often plays like a sort of debonair. Like, he's always kind of like putting on a little bit of something.
Yeah.
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 I love Stanley Tucci. I think he's so hot. Okay. Skinny Steve was achieved by an LA-based CG company called Lola. They also make feminine care products. I wonder if they're the same company.
And I just have to say, I'm not laughing at the concept of him being attractive. I'm laughing at how horny you just got about him being attractive. Okay, please go back to what you were saying.
Stanley Tucci! So it's called Lola, and it specializes in digital plastic surgery.
Wow.
They shot each of those scenes at least four times, once normally, once with Chris or with Evans gone in front of a green screen, once with everyone else in the scene but Evans absent, and once with a body double.
Oh my
Holy
God,
shit.
It's forever.
That's a lot. For close ups, Evans' fellow actor had to look at marks on his chin that represented where his eyes would be, and he had to look at marks on the top of actors' heads.
Oof. That's so hard.
But what if they would have just cast a little dude, and then CGI'd the muscles later. You know what I'm saying? It would have been totally different.
But I truly, wait, so hold on. Let me just see this again. They did it once normally, once with him alone in front of a green screen, once with everyone else in the scene but him not there, and once with a body double. Now, would the body double be small? Because that's what I was picturing the whole time, a smaller actor so that they could look down. It would just be all natural. It'd be easy to act that out. This is so interesting. So many ways they did it. Well, I guess it's helpful for his acting.
The body double's the one that confuses me.
Me too. I mean, I think for his acting purposes, it's good that he was in the scene with everyone because he was having to react off them. But that's so confusing. And then when they're looking at his chin in the scene, that's just like goofy. Like, that's so hard.
Gotta say, very impressed with the acting.
Me too.
With those fucking, it's hard. Like, whenever I have to act with a C-stand, like the thing that holds the light or whatever, I'm like, it's hard because you have to look at this like taped X.
Yes.
And then you're just trying to emote, and then the other actor is somewhere else with like a disembodied voice. I'm thoroughly
impressed.
That
is really hard, and doing that for a whole movie would be really hard.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, well, a fan on Tumblr placed a caption on a GIF from the end of the movie of a child playing with a homemade Captain America shield that said, "Phil, time for dinner," indicating that the child was a young Agent Phil Coulson. Fans shared the image, not realizing it had been manipulated, and it became a popular fan theory. Clark Gregg has not confirmed this retroactively. Okay.
I love how the fans are like, this! And then people are like, I guess it's true. But this one, they were like, no!
But also,
no,
why
you can't
is
have
Clark
this one,
Gregg?
Tumblr.
What? And also, why is Clark Gregg the person to talk to? Like, talk to the writers
or
talk
know.
To? Well, that's like, what's his name? Andrew Garfield, or not Garfield? The other one, the little one.
Who?
He was like, I am the Spider-Man kid from I don't know something. I can't remember.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
No, that is me. I am the kid.
Oh, Tom Holland. I'm sorry, I called him the little one.
Oh my God.
But he is tiny.
I think most Spider-Man actors are shorter. Wasn't that true? It feels kind of true.
I think so. I'm still really sad we're not watching Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, I'm curious, but also I'm fine with it. Okay, now for our segment, Five Stark Industries. This is where we read newcomers listener reviews. This is a five-star review from Van WNB. Thanks for doing something I would never do to begin with. I will absolutely never watch any one of the movies they review, especially Tyler Perry. But these people, that was the best series.
Wow. Especially.
Those are the best. But these people, that's the real MCU, okay?
That was the best. But these people keep me coming back. Nicole and Lauren could review off-brand cereals, and I'd listen to every episode. Good idea.
Yeah, maybe that's the new podcast.
Oh my God.
Okay, so this season, in addition to Apple reviews of newcomers, we're also reading reviews from Letterboxd. And then we're going to give the film a one sentence review ourselves and a star rating. And anyone who doesn't know what Letterboxd is, it's a social platform where people can write reviews of films. Follow our show on Letterboxd, it's at newcomers. So this is Nate. Nate said, central to this story is an idea that one of the worst fates you could suffer is becoming an entertainer.
Wow.
Oh, interesting.
He was humiliated when he had to stand on stage.
Yeah, he really didn't like it.
This one is a 3-star review from Fran Hefner, and she says, small guy gets big. Well,
Fran is insightful and intuitive.
Up. Yes.
So what is a one sentence review you would give the film?
Pretty to look at, cinemagraphic? No, that's not a word.
Keep that in.
Yeah, okay. Nice to look at. Cinemagraphic. Did not like skinny little man. But overall, I think okay. Didn't like the end. Ooh, here's my actual review. Okay, the last 5 minutes were the best part of the movie.
Yeah, and I will add to that, I now understand the Chris Evans fandom, and I liked how it was like the 40s.
Okay.
I like a period piece.
I'm going to go with it's bobblehead, redhead. Is he dead? That's
James, I fucking that's love so good. That.
Can you put that in our review, please, and quote James?
Yeah, that's incredible.
I would give this movie 4 stars. I'm leaving room to grow. I think there's 5 stars possible.
I'm giving it 3 based on this man's shield is stolen from my people.
Okay. Out of 5. Is it out of 5?
I think it's out of 5, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what to do. I'm going to go with 4.5.
Hey, that's good.
Okay.
Yeah, see, I... Yeah,
and I would also just say, I think go back and watch. If you watch all of these and have an affinity for the movies by the time you're done, watch it again because it ended up meaning more watching it.
Okay.
I'll stop you right there. I'll never watch this movie again.
I don't think I'll be watching it again, but I wouldn't be mad if it was on in the room that I was in.
I might ask someone to turn it off.
I liked a lot of elements if you like the other movies. Okay, yeah. No.
This movie was 2 hours and 5
fucking
minutes.
Well, that's what
happens
with all of these. I mean.
And when I started it at midnight last night, boy, was I upset.
I know. I started it late too, and I was so tired. And then I had to finish it this morning. But then I really enjoyed watching it this morning when I was laying on the couch.
We did the same thing. We all did the exact same thing. Why did we start at midnight? That doesn't make any sense. God. Why was that the time we chose to start?
Here's why I started at midnight. I was like, I would rather do my laundry, clean my room, do anything but watch this movie.
I get it. Well, please review us on Apple Podcasts. We will pick another 5-star review to read on the next episode, and you can rate us on Spotify as well.
Yeah. James, do you have anything you want to plug?
Yes. Follow me at James Third Comedy. Third is 3RD. And my podcast, Black Men Can't Jump, where we are wherever you listen to podcasts, I think.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being here and for illuminating us as to why we should love these films.
Yes, this was very enjoyable. And it is funny because I did like the movie a little bit better after talking about it. But like, I really got to stick with it. I hated that little skinny man. So we're going to be back with the fucking Avengers.
Oh, my God.
It seems Avengers is overwhelmed.
Next? Wow.
Yeah. So is he? He's okay.
I'm overwhelmed at the thought of all of them playing together.
Yeah. I know. And it's like, oh, God, it's going to be so intense.
Well, you get Mark Ruffalo as Hulk, and he is a great
Oh, good. Hulk, I like him as an actor. Yeah.
Is this the first time we see the Hulk?
Yes. First time you see Mark Ruffalo as Hulk, because Ed Norton's is technically in the MCU, so it's our second time seeing Hulk.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah.
And this is not the end game. Second. This is just Avengers.
Oh no! Oh goodness! There's a lot of miles to go before the end game.
Oh my God!
I just thought it was interesting that it was like Avengers End Game, and I was like, but you're gonna make more movies, so why call anything the end?
I mean,
you know what? You're right.
I'm excited.
That'll make no sense.
To see how they interact. I enjoyed when Nick Fury came in at the end, so then it was like, oh, now he's gonna meet all of them. So I am curious what's gonna happen.
Ooh. I wonder if it's going to be like Charlie's Angels where Nick Fury is like, hey, Avengers, I got a mission for
you. I need you guys to team up and go do something crazy.
Tee-hee-hee.
Oh, my God. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Hat was a HeadGum Original.